is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.
Now, full time on Radio City Talk.
5 past 5 across Merseyside, Rock Sport and Talk for Liverpool. If you're a 5 o'clock finisher, welcome to the party. Thank you very much for turning us on this afternoon into this evening. Thanks again to Jamie Moore, former middleweight boxer. He was an Irish champion, Commonwealth champion, British champion as well. Went on to have a fantastic career, went on to be a boxing promoter. You see him on Sky regularly, and there's a dramatic story in the last number of years where he was shot on holidays 5 times, which is still with him today. And basically it's a story of I suppose it was the wrong person being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And what an amazing book. And get yourself on to at Radio City Talk in a bit. We'll let you hear some of the best bits of it again, and you can see how you can meet Jamie. Jamie's going to be at a book signing this Saturday at 2 o'clock at Waterstones in Liverpool 1. Right, it is Wednesday afternoon. It is just after 5 o'clock, which means I get to welcome in a resident movie master into the studio. You see, you slowly but surely I'm coming up with a different name for you every week.
Yeah, I'm doing quite well with that.
I like a bit of alliteration, so movie master.
Yeah, movie master sounds all right. It sounds a bit dominating. Mm. I'm not sure if I'm quite there. I bet there's listeners out there who know much more about film than me.
Right, but at the same time, those people do not have access to the vast array of amazing films.
So
but
I'm here through vicinity.
Yeah, he's here because he does work for the Fact Cinema. That is Michael Fowler, one of the best cinemas in the area for showing independent movies, different movies, and of course the big blockbusters as well. What's happening down at Fact at the moment? Are you busy? Because the last time we spoke, it was the students were just starting term. You gave 4.5 quadrillion goodie bags away, gave away a membership card as well. Has it settled a bit?
No. We've been very busy. We've had all sorts of satellite Q&As. So we had Louis Theroux's satellite Q&A with the first screening of the Scientology movie.
He did the satellite screening himself.
He had a Q&A by Adam Buxton, who was interviewing him in the South Bank Centre in London, and so we were able to watch him by satellite in the cinema.
Oh my word, that's off of Adam and Paul. Yes,
Adam and Joe.
Adam and Paul's an independent Irish movie, which is quite good actually. So anyway, we'll move on. We'll talk about my Scientology movie in a bit, and we'll talk about many different movies that are coming to a cinema screen near you. And on top of that as well, we will have a Fact prize pack to give away. Right, if you want to register for the Fact prize pack, 01517 08 1059. We have a Blu-ray, some posters, some goodies, and tickets to go and see one of the movies we're going to be previewing later on in the show. Right, 01517 08 1059. And we'll also throw it out to Twitter in a bit as well, where we're asking you to help us along the way. It'll all make sense in a bit. Right, let's go and have a look at the top 5 movies at the UK box office at the moment. Number 5, The Magnificent Seven. I wasn't overly enamoured with this one coming out, but it's done okay.
Yeah, it's hanging in there, isn't it? Yeah, I've said this week in, week out. They've got the celebrity pulling power there. They've got a story that people love. People are going to go see that. I will catch it, I think, but I'm not too fussed about going to see it at the cinema.
I left here last week. We had a discussion last week with The Magnificent Seven being out about the fact that Denzel Washington's in it, and has Denzel Washington made a bad film? And I went home, went on Wikipedia, IMDb, the rest of the internet, the other section of the internet you're not supposed to go on, but then I went back onto the normal section of the internet. I couldn't find one.
See?
Couldn't find a bad
He's
Denzel.
The golden boy.
Worst case scenario, there was a few ropey films, but his performance was superb.
So I had
to hold my hands up and say, yeah, absolutely. That was the question we were asking last week. Number 4, Deepwater Horizon.
Tell me all about it. This is your time to shine.
We flipped this round last week, and I still don't know if I feel comfortable with it. He's the movie expert and the previewer, but I happen to see this, and Michael hasn't. Let me see. Mark Wahlberg, who is reenacting the true life story of a huge explosion on an oil rig in the Gulf of Mexico in the, I think it was 2010. Mm. And it started a huge discussion as to safety and how it should be selected and enacted and worked upon oil rigs. Because what happens is with oil rigs, you have an oil rig, an oil company will pay an independent company to do their drilling for them. They are the oil company themselves, the independent company, are kind of working not side by side, but independently of each other. And sometimes things get a little bit messy, specifically when finances and money are involved.
I hear John Malkovich plays a very sinister gentleman.
He plays a sinister gentleman who is working for BP, who are the people who are involved with this. And he maybe, in hindsight, having looked back at the trailer and looked back at some clips, he really hams up his performance.
Yeah.
he's down there sort of a Texas way, and he has really, really worked hard in the Texan accent. And everyone else in the movie is supposed to be from the same part of the world.
Yeah.
But his is just a little bit yeehaw for me. Right? But his performance is epic, as you would expect from John Malkovich. The reason it's very good for me is the fact that, let me see who else is good in it. Mark Wahlberg has toned it down. He plays quite a reserved kind of character. There's no shouty bits. You don't get the Transformer / Ted character.
You ever seen the film he's in called Shooter?
I think I have, actually,
I love that. That's kind of like, it's like a balls-to-the-wall kind of like action film, but he plays this quite reserved character. And he storms into a room and like kills all these bad guys. And this guy's like, "What did they do to you?" And he goes, "These guys killed my dog."
I have seen it. You don't understand.
These guys kill my dog.
It's a toned down performance in that. Who else is in it? Kate Hudson's in it as well. And there's some really good performances that you wouldn't necessarily expect. And quite an explosive, literally and metaphorically explosive film. And I'm not spoiling anything for anybody, because that's basically the movie opens with the transcripts of the legal case which followed the explosion and exactly what happened there. And it's kind of an ode to the people who died on Deepwater Horizon, the name of the base in which it all happened. Definitely check it out if you get a chance. I checked it out because I didn't get to see Bridget Jones one night. And do you know what? One of the best movies I've seen in the last number of months. Definitely worth seeing. Anyway, number three. See, look, that's my movie reviewer head. Stop it. I'm going back to you. Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children.
Yeah, so Tim Burton's latest, working with Disney again. Some of it's filmed in Blackpool. So you'll see the Blackpool Tower, I think, in it. And it's about a young boy who discovers an orphanage run by Ava Green. And her character looks after these children who have special powers. Some can fly, some are very strong. And this young lad, who doesn't have seemingly any powers, I don't know if he ends up having them, then goes and has to help them all from these bad characters. Samuel Jackson, I think, is the baddie.
Yeah, from looking at it, it is the most Tim Burton thing I've ever seen in my life, and that says a lot.
Yeah, gothic children, like it's all a little bit like a fun version of The Shining.
Yes, The Glowing, possibly, instead of The Shining, but definitely it looks the part. It's one of those movies that's done very well. I think it's taken over, you know, we're on the £7 million mark in and around the UK and the UK alone, and Tim Burton. It's almost a shame that we haven't seen another Beetlejuice. Now, we spoke about this during the week.
Do you think that's going to come out?
Well, I heard Michael Keaton talking about it when he had that huge movie last year. In the last 2 years, he's had two huge movies. Specifically, Birdman.
And Spotlight.
Yeah. And Spotlight as well. And I thought he was brilliant in both. And obviously, he's asked all the time about, you know, Beetlejuice 2, is it going to happen? Winona Ryder is now in it.
I think he's a bit sick of it.
Well, he must be, because he said he's had the script thrown at him a few times. It wasn't good. The wrong production company was making it. Then was Tim going to be involved? Was he not going to be involved?
It's good to hear, though, that an actor actually saying, "I saw the script and I wasn't that into it," and so he didn't sign on. Like most actors, I think sometimes they're like, "Yeah, it's the best script I ever read," and then you go and watch the film and think, "That was awful. I've just been lied to by someone I admire."
Do you think the smell of the pound note up your nostrils can maybe blur your mind as to how good the script actually is?
Yeah, I guess so. But, you know, you think most people have got enough money in those situations that they don't need to do that. They can actually do something that's artistically credible.
I think Keaton's all right. Yeah, I think he's fine.
He's sorted. That's probably why he's able to turn things down like Beetlejuice 2.
Yeah, so we look out for that. And as Tim Burton was asked during the week, and I heard him talking about it, saying that he doesn't even know what the situation is with it. Winona Ryder's in a situation where she's back acting quite significantly at the moment. So we'll keep an eye on that. At number two, Bridget Jones's Baby.
I think you've got to take this away again, Adam.
Two times for me. The reason I got to see Deepwater Horizon, and believe me, Michael Fowler from the Fact Cinema is our movie reviewer, and not me. We just happen to fall on one of those weeks that I've seen two movies that he hasn't seen. Bridget Jones's Baby. I initially went to see this a week ago, which is, in essence, 3 weeks since it's been released. So it's a month-ish in the charts. And when I went to see it in my local cinema houseplex, I couldn't get two tickets together. I couldn't get two tickets together for the 7 o'clock showing, and I couldn't get two tickets together for the 8 o'clock showing. And it's not in 3D, so I literally had to go, what else did I go to? And ended up seeing Deepwater Horizon, the aforementioned Mark Wahlberg movie. Finally got to see Bridget Jones. I had to say to the missus, right, look, we'll go and see it. And I have to say, pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, okay. Surprised.
Well, surprised.
I don't think you can say you were surprised because you've been so excited about this film for weeks.
Well, because so many people had said things to me about it, about look out for this bit and look out for this bit and this is really good.
Yeah.
And sometimes when I hear that from a movie, I think it's a movie that's going to be full of all the bits you see in the trailer and nothing else, right? Mm. So I went into it almost going, oh, this is just going to be 5 or 6 big jokes and nothing else. It's quite an interesting story. So Bridget is, I think she's 41, 42. I'm not spoiling anything again. Bridget finds herself back in the throes of romance with two different separate gentlemen. One Mr. Darcy and one a more handsome gentleman played by Dr. McDreamy from Grey's Anatomy from some years ago. Patrick Dempsey, I believe he's called. This information is coming very quick to me today. And he, so that she's not aware of which one of the gentlemen was responsible for the production of a life form growing insider is all I'm going to say.
Making this sound like Alien.
Yeah,
it's the new Alien film we're talking about.
Do you know what? I'm reading this here going, words you can and cannot say on the radio. But do you know what? The reason it was good for me, once again, Renée Zellweger was just superb, right? Mm. I see her doing interviews now as Renée Zellweger in her American accent and I go, what? Why does Bridget Jones talk in American accent?
Yeah, yeah.
She's made this role her own. Mark Darcy in it. He's once again superb as a character. You don't always like him. Patrick Dempsey, the new love interest, or 50% of her new love interest comes into it. He gets the franchise.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not trying to steal scenes.
There's a bit of a nod and a wink to him.
Yeah.
I got that from the trailer.
There is a little bit. They're very aware of who they have in the movie. Some great cameos in there as well. Sally Phillips, as always. Emma Thompson steals the show every time she's in a scene.
Yeah.
And she was responsible for, I think she wrote most of it. Yeah, as well. Yeah. The good thing about it for me was the fact that I was expecting 5 or 6 big joke bombs in there. And me to go, right, I'll get 5 or 6 good laughs out of it and that'll be it. But it's very cleverly done that they never give you the massive joke bomb, right? Mm. They give you consistent 75 to 80% jokes throughout.
Yeah,
so if you were to say to me, did I laugh 5 times in it? I would say, no, actually I didn't. Probably laughed 15 times in it, but they're all really good laughs. So it's a very, very well developed script and it's quite well shared out. So I would say go and see it.
Did it miss Hugh Grant?
Possibly comment about Hugh Grant, the Hugh Grant character, or what he did in the previous one, or his place in the Bridget Jones, the pantheon of Bridget Jones, because there are bits in this one that I really can't talk about. I don't want to be a spoiler.
No spoilers.
No spoilers. No. I'll tell you exactly what happened.
I'll watch it with my mum after Christmas. Or something.
Yeah, and when it comes out on DVD.
I'll let you know.
Stop judging me.
Never. I'd never judge you.
Right, I'm going back to number one. And I am now taking the role very much as the presenter here and throwing it back to you as the the man who knows what he's talking about. The Girl on the Train.
Yeah, I really wish I had actually seen this film. It's just been quite a busy weekend for me. But I have seen the Scientology movie, which we'll come to later. So The Girl on the Train is stars Emily Blunt as a recently divorced alcoholic. And she goes past this couple's house on a commute every day. And she imagines this perfect life that they lead. And then one day she wakes up, there's blood on her hands, and suddenly she sees something that there's a bit astray about the couple, and she starts coming up with all these ideas, and she goes on an investigation of her own to what actually has happened.
What is she doing? She's not an investigator. She just happens to be someone who saw something take place, isn't it?
Yeah, she thinks she's seen something, or she doesn't know that she's seen something, and she decides to follow the investigation and do it for herself. It's a best-selling novel as well, adapted from. It was, the novel was set in London, though, so it's really interesting that they've taken it to America to change it. They've taken an English actress to America to make to adapt an English novel.
And she plays an American in it.
Yeah.
Where does she sit now in the top table of American actors and actresses? Surely she's right up there now, isn't she?
I'd say she's maybe my favourite actress, currently making films all the time.
I love her character in... I don't know what I'm sounding like today. I sound like all I do is watch Bridget Jones and Devil Wears Prada. But in The Devil Wears
she's
Prada...
She's wicked, isn't she?
She's so good in that.
Yeah, she's absolutely wicked, but then still gives you... You still have like a bit of empathy for her because she's been so browbeaten that she's... That's why she's so wicked. Mm. And so even though she's not that kind of Anna Wintour character who is just heartless... There's like actually, yeah, there's a, like a soul and the kind of.
It takes a while for us to see said soul, but we do see it eventually. And again, no plot spoilers in that one about A Devil Wears Prada. But I always suspected they would do a follow up to that, but they never did.
Yeah, but they're doing a follow up to Sicario, which Emily Blunt is in, which I'm really looking forward to. Although Emily Blunt won't be in it. So Sicario, I think, is one of the best films of last year. It's very good. It's about an FBI agent who has to go to the Mexican-American border, and they're fighting the war on drugs with cartels and bounty hunters that are just merciless. And it's absolute warfare out there. And the role that Emily Blunt plays in that film was originally written for a man. She managed to convince the producers and the filmmakers to give her that role.
Yeah, I could listen to her read the phone book. She's just superb and watch her as well. She's clearly one of the best actors or actresses in Hollywood at the moment. Right, coming up in a bit, we're going to be talking about The Greasy Strangler, right? Mm-hmm. It's set to raise a few eyebrows. I will give you a bit of a heads up on this. If you have any youngsters, it's probably best. Don't worry, the actual review of said movie won't be in any way tasteless, but I would say... Don't push them in the direction of the trailer on YouTube.
There's a green band trailer. There is a safe trailer, but maybe avoid the red band or not safe for work one.
Not the one I watched earlier on today when colleagues of mine said, "What are you watching at work?" And I had to go, "Whoa, I'm just looking out for the movie we're going to be talking about later on."
It's research.
Dave, my producer, he literally looked over my shoulder and went, "Mate, What is that?" So listen, we will find out what that is in a bit. But we're going to ask you in a bit for... Well, we'll ask you now, I suppose. We'll set this up and we'll develop it later on. Yeah. We're looking for greasy movies. Now, we don't mean grease.
No, that's too easy. So we want you to take the name of a film and greasify it. So the few that I came up with on the walk down here were, you know, The Lord of the Rings. Avengers Age of Ultron. Did I have another?
Let me see.
The Princess Fried.
Ah, he demands on fire. So send us a greasy film in any way, shape or form at Radio City Talk. Send us a tweet now. Okay, if you can give us your greasiest film, we will actually send out the Blu-ray of The Greasy Strangler. We'll give you a limited poster that there's only a few of these in the world, and we'll give you a bright pink greasy goodie bag. And believe me, there's no actual grease in it. We'll discuss that and more next on Radio City Talk.
Radio City Talk travel update.
With Fords of Winsford, with up to 1,800 cars, relax, browse, test drive today.
In Birkenhead, there's slow traffic on Argyle Street. So that's due to an accident in both directions between Borough Road and Hinderton Road. Also, on the M56 eastbound, there's slow traffic between junction 15 for the M53 and 14 for Hapsford. And in Queensbury, there's slow traffic on the A494 westbound between Drome Corner and Gladstone Way. You're up to date on Radio City Talk.
What do you think of when someone says the word used? Old-fashioned? Out of tune? A bit scratched? Something past its best. Chances are you're not thinking of a Mercedes-Benz. and certainly not one of the latest models. Think Mercedes-Benz approved used. Suddenly, there's a lot more meaning to that little word. Visit your local retailer to find your used car today, and you'll see what I mean. I like the way you work it. Mercedes-Benz approved used. Used, but not what you're used to.
Get the latest travel online now at radiocitytalk.co.uk.
Some kitchens can, some kitchens won't. Some will, others simply don't. If you order a new kitchen today, some companies simply cannot promise you'll have it in time for Christmas. Panorama can. So call us now on 260 7749 or visit panoramakitchens.co.uk.
A1 Taxi.
All your airport runs, all your local journeys, all your eight-seater hire. Business is growing, taking you where you're going. Download the app today. A1 Taxis, part of the One Call Group.
480, all the sevens.
The thing about being on prepay is that if Gaz and Lecky get out of control, you can run out of energy at the most inconvenient times. Upgrade to a smart prepay meter and you can top up whenever it suits you. Online, via your mobile or at the shop. By 2020, every home in Britain will be able to get a smart meter from their energy supplier at no extra cost. However you pay for your energy, it's time to get Gaz and Lecky under control. Find out more about the National Smart Meter rollout. Search Smart Energy GB Prepay.
Share a brighter, whiter smile with Gentle Dentistry from Crosby Village Dental Practice. Missing teeth mean losing your smile, but with dental implants from Peter Doyle at Crosby Village Dental Practice, we'll help restore a gorgeous grin. With free teeth whitening for all implant treatments, smile brighter and whiter with Gentle Dentistry from Crosby Village Dental Practice, Moor Lane, just off the roundabout. Call us today on 286 0330.
This weekend, get set for autumn with Wilko. Get set for seasonal cooking with great prices across our kitchen range, so you can get set for casserole making and tasty cake baking. Give your kitchen an autumnal feel with our stylish new copper range, including copper tri-ply saucepans from just £18 and copper effect utensils from just £4. Buy more in store or online at wilko.com. Get set for autumn. Where there's a Wilko, there's a way. Subject to availability.
Okay, I'm going to say something radical in this advert for WeBuyAnyCar.com. If you sell your car privately, you might get a better price than if you sell with us. Yep, I said it. But ask yourself this. How much do you value your evenings and weekends? Is it really worth giving up so much of your time for a little extra money? No? Then join the thousands of motorists who sell with us quickly and easily every week. Enter your reg number now at WeBuyAnyCar.com. Terms and conditions apply. See webuyanycar.com/info.
Full time with Connor Phillips. With the Heating and Bathroom Centre. From boiler to complete bathroom installation, they do it all.
It is Radio City Talk. It is 5:28. I'm Connor Phillips. I'm joined by Michael Fowler from the Fact Cinema this evening, as we are every single, what is it, Wednesday evening? I've just about got the day right, haven't I?
Yeah, we're nearly there. Wednesday's at 5.
Took me a month to get it. I always think it's a Thursday because movies on the weekend sort of have a resonance in my head. So we're going to be talking about The Greasy Strangler in a second. It's the new kind of Steptoe and Son, the USA 21st century version of it. A little bit darker than that. But we have a Greasy Strangler prize pack to give away, which is what, Michael Fowler?
So we've got The Greasy Strangler itself on Blu-ray with a limited edition reversible cover. We've got a limited edition Greasy Strangler poster, which, you know, there's not many of these posters around. It's really weird. It's really cool. And then a pink, bright pink, greasy goodie bag for you with badges and stickers for all your delight. And another poster as well.
Okay, so we've got this coming for somebody. All you need to do is give us a buzz, 0151 708 1059, right? We're looking for your greasified films. Now, already, Michael has given us... Give us your two.
So I thought The Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
This is my rubbish one, The Avengers Age of Oil Tron.
Simon has popped in from next door to give us Kevin and Perry go Marge.
That's very good.
Margarine.
I really like that one. Huh?
Full time with Connor Phillips. With the Heating and Bathroom Centre. From boiler to complete bathroom installation, they do it all.
It is Radio City Talk. We're in the middle of talking all things movies with Michael Fowler from the Fact Cinema, and we're going to give away a prize pack for, what is it? It is The Greasy Strangler, the new movie that's out this weekend. We'll talk about it in a second. We've asked you to greasify some movies for us, right? Just standard movies, and give them a greasy greasy angle. So you give us some.
Yeah, or you could go for some like greasy foods as well if you were struggling. I was The Sliming instead of The Shining.
I like that, The Sliming. It's all right. There was a movie out in 2012 called A Better Life. What about A Butter Life? Greasy movies, keep them coming in at Radio City Talk. The best ones will walk away with a brilliant prize pack from the brilliant people at the Fact Cinema here in Liverpool. And it's going to be a Blu-ray. You're going to get a poster and you'll see the movie just as it's coming out. We'll actually give you a Blu-ray of the movie. It's not one of those like illegal ones that we got off the internet. It's actually being released at the same time as the actual film itself. So let's get into it. The Greasy Strangler. It's kind of a 21st century USA blue version of Steptoe and Son?
Yeah, it's definitely the most bizarre film you're going to see this year, there's no doubt. It's been produced by Ben Wheatley and Elijah Wood. So there's some big names there. Ben Wheatley did High Rise and Field in England, and Elijah Wood we know from The Lord of the Rings.
Well played. I can see the weirdness in this if Elijah Wood is involved. Without dropping names, I managed to spend a bit of time with him about 3 years ago. He DJed a bit. This became a thing he was doing because he was kind of gone. Right, look, I've literally been the most famous actor in the world. I can now be a I'm like, I'm a real boy to quote Shrek. But I spent some time with him, and he's a quite an intense character. He's quite
He's got quite starry eyes, hasn't he?
Yeah, he does, and he's quite whispery, and he's like, hey man, and you're trying to interview him or talk to him about his projects, and you can see a little bit of that in at least the trailer, which I've looked at this morning. So
Very odd, this film. You've got the main story is that you've got a father and son who do disco walks around their hometown, and one day a customer comes and they both fall in love with her, and so dad is put against lad, and at the same time there's a horrible murderer going around he's calling himself the Greasy Strangler. He's covering himself in lard and strangling his victims. And the son, Richie, starts to suspect that the Greasy Strangler might just be his dad.
The problem I have with this, without seeing too much of this, right? I've seen the trailer. I've seen both trailers, the one that you can watch in work and the one that you can't, right? I sometimes struggle with movies that automatically go searching for a cult following.
Yeah, yeah.
I think if you go for a cult following,
you're trying too hard.
It's then not a cult movie. I think the whole essence of the cult movie is the surprise.
Yeah, I don't think people ever really go out to make a cult film, because if you did go out to make a cult film, I think you'd be so trapped by doing cliches and stereotypes. With this, there's a look to this film which is unlike any other. All the characters wear very odd knitwear. There's like a soundtrack that sounds sort of a bit like, what's it, Trigger Happy TV or something. Uh-huh. And you've got unknown actors who are putting a lot of trust in an unknown director who's making them do lots of very surreal things. And also there's just, I think on their own, they may be going for that cult. I could maybe see how you could say that it's trying to be a cult film, because it uses a lot of B-movie, it uses some of the B-movie tropes. So some of the horror, you see a guy in the advert, I think he's getting strangled and his eyes bulge out of his head in a almost cartoon-like fashion. As that bit, maybe I could see. But from what I've heard, I've read reviews by James Franco, Peter Bradfield, and they say though this film has all the weirdness and grossness and, yeah, all things that would make it a cult classic, the film's got a lot of heart. And there's a warm and fuzzy story underneath all that slime.
It is one of those movies that you got to be careful when you're reviewing, because it is definitely for an 18 plus audience, similar to Sausage Party a number of weeks ago, which stayed at number one. It's been a tremendous success for Rogan et al. How will this be perceived, at least with the Sausage Party crew? It's just very much lad toilet stoner humour with a little bit of a story. Is this more expansive than that, or is it the opposite way, where it's not even that?
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be like laddie humour at all. I think this is going to be like, this is going to be nerd humour. This is going to be like the kids that got beat up and had hid in the corner away from all the lads' jokes, like the ones that didn't want to shower. Like this is the film that they made. I don't think it's similar to Sausage Party in that way. It's like, I think the characters are all very sweet and they're almost childlike. It's just they're put in very adult and strange situations.
Right, this is The Greasy Strangler we're talking about. It's Radio City Talk. I'm Connor Phillips, joined by Michael Fowler from The Fact Cinema. We're talking all things movies. We're asking you for your greasified movies, or indeed greasified media will do. The best one will get their hands on a Blu-ray, the Blu-ray of the movie we're talking about at the moment, a limited edition poster and a greasy goodie bag. Right, do you want to hear some of the ones that are coming in?
Yeah, have you got some?
Some coming in here.
Ace.
I have one I absolutely love, right? First of all, this is more, I suppose, more TV than movie. Butter Call Saul.
Yeah, well done.
Which is quite a good one.
That's fantastic. That's a really good one.
Well, I would have said that's the best one so far. There's another one in here. What about the movie Elbow Grease? Okay, too obvious. Needs to be a play on words, doesn't it? My favourite one so far comes in from Andy Stout. You ready for this?
Right. Go on.
So we're going Grease, and potentially we've used different greasy products. You ready? This is my favourite one so far. One Flew Clover the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah,
oh, that is joyous, right? You've only got about 2 or 3 minutes to get yours in, right? Because we want your greasified movie, and the best greasified movie will win themselves a huge pack from the crew at Fact Cinema. Yeah. When's it out, and how can we see it?
So tomorrow night at 8:40, you can see it. If you go tomorrow night, you will get a greasy goodie bag on arrival.
Oh, amazing.
And you also have another chance to win some Blu-ray discs and posters on the night. So if you go down, you might find in your goodie bag a Blu-ray DVD. You might find a poster underneath your seat. Keep your eyes peeled.
Right.
Come down.
Superb. Right. Coming up in a bit, we're going to be talking about American Honey, a movie I wasn't aware of until first thing this morning, and I started doing a bit of investigating into it. It looks absolutely brilliant, like a modern day Bonnie and Clyde. And also, Michael's got down, kicked his feet up, and watched My Scientology Movie from Louis Theroux. We're going to be talking about that very shortly. Got some Boo Radleys and Oasis on the way very shortly as well. And let's find out what's happening on the roads.
Cool Time with Connor Phillips, with the Heating and Bathroom Centre. Stylish bathroom suites at sensational prices.
It's Radio City Talk 5:44. I'm Connor Phillips. You're listening to Full Time. Right, if you missed my interview with Jamie Moore, the boxer, earlier on today, this was a boxer who has come from Salford. He admitted himself wasn't the best area in the world. He got himself out of a lot of trouble, which involved stealing cars and getting chased by police and helicopters, to become the Irish-British Commonwealth middleweight champion. And ultimately, about 2 years ago, when he had finished boxing, he was just standing in the street in Marbella and got shot 5 times. A really incredible, incredible story. Get yourself on to at Radio City Talk. Listen back to it there, and there's some really good bits in it. So please do go and enjoy that this evening. But listen, we're not talking about boxing for the time being. We're involved with Michael Fowler from The Fact Cinema here, talking all things movies. We've already talked about The Greasy Strangler. Keep your greasified films coming in. We've had everything from Kevin and Perry Goes Marge. The Sliming, which is one of yours, you're starting to really think.
Pulling at threads there.
Butter Call Saul.
Butter Call Saul, I really like Butter Call Saul.
And the best one, I think, I like that one. We'll go between the two. We'll come up with something in a few minutes, and somebody's going to be winning this prize pack. One Flew Clover, the Cuckoo's Nest.
Fantastic.
Oh, do you know what? The level we have this evening is...
That guy deserves a medal, if not a Blu-ray.
We may be able to sort that out pretty shortly. Right, let's have a quick look at the two other movies that are outstanding this afternoon. American Honey, directed by Andrea Arnold, Shia LaBeouf and Riley Keough. Tell me about this.
Okay, so Andrea Arnold's a British director. You have maybe seen Fish Tank and Wuthering Heights. She does lots of kind of very social realism. She's like a kind of like Ken Loach, but maybe a bit harder, a bit grittier. And she has made her first American film, I think, and it is called American Honey. And it is about a young girl who's in an abusive family, and she meets this young, handsome gentleman played by Shia LaBeouf, who is part of a mag crew. And these mag crews are people that go around all day down from town to town selling magazines door to door, and then they party all night in ridiculous mayhem.
Mag crew almost in itself sounds a little bit dark and cold, but it's not. It's actually
it's like apparently it's just a thing. It's like like you'll sometimes see in American TV, or if you've been to America, that there's people who wait for work. But in this case, they're kind of labourers in the sense they're not hired. They're just given work, money for the day's work or whatever they can sell. Yeah, I think...
Is it set modern day? Or
Yeah, modern day. It's about as up-to-date as you can get. This is a kind of a film for the young generation, I think. I think older people will enjoy it, but this is a story of America's youth today.
Now, Shia LaBeouf, he has plenty of links with the Fact Cinema. Yeah, he featured on the show a couple of weeks ago as well.
We
spoke about him, and he is one of those actors who sometimes splits opinion, but there's no doubt about the amount of work that he does for the parts. Now, from what I've seen in this movie, he really throws it right into this and
gives himself a terrible haircut for a start.
And he pierces his eyebrow as well. Ugh. What's that deal about? So he's really thrown himself into this. It's got very much an independent movie vibe. I like the fact that Shia LaBeouf is getting involved with these at the moment. How do you think it's going to be perceived from that point of view? It's not the big Hollywood blockbuster. That could be the big Hollywood blockbuster.
Yeah, yeah. I never actually worked with Shia when he came to Fact, but it did just seem like anything he does gets criticised. I think he's now come to a point in his career, like Michael Keaton, like a lot of other actors, where he's made a lot of money and now he can just pick and choose his roles. And that's why he chooses to do these mad and sometimes absolutely brilliant art pieces, is that he's made his money and he can now actually do something of artistic credibility. And so you see in this role that he absolutely loses himself. Have you seen the film Fury before?
Have I seen Fury?
So it was,
remind me.
I can't remember the name of the director. David. He's the guy who directed Suicide Squad, which was terrible, but Fury was brilliant. And in this role, it was about him as a tank driver with Brad Pitt and a few other people. And apparently, Shia LaBeouf, didn't wash for the role. He was he'd cut himself on the cheek, so they didn't have to put makeup on. And it sounds like it's absolutely mental to think what he's doing, but this guy is so passionate about bringing something absolutely credible and artistically pure.
David Ayer,
yeah. Brilliant director. I don't know where he went wrong with Suicide Squad.
We can't talk about Suicide Squad ever again on the show, can we?
No, not at all.
I still haven't seen it. It's waiting on the DVD to come out.
You don't want to. Save your money.
Right, so tell us about the co-stars in this as well. So American Honey, again, and I hate to say this about every movie we talk about now, is it the fact that it is this weird lull of the year, right? I'm not saying that Bridget Jones wouldn't have worked during the summer, during the big summer blockbuster phase, but it seems to be this is the time when they try out sort of independence and movies like this.
Yeah, so you've got a new young actress in it, and the rest of the cast are all sort of, they're not actresses or actors, they're all kind of real people, much in the way that Ken Loach uses actresses and actors. And you get that kind of, with that, you get a sort of real but kind of stunted performance. It's never going to be that weird Hollywood twinge that actors can do. It's kind of like real voices saying real things, maybe not totally scripted, maybe just saying things off the cuff. Have you seen Spring Breakers? This is what this film really leads me into. I think this film is going to be so much better than Spring Breakers. I like Spring Breakers, but I think it's reminiscent of that because it's young people showing what young people do these days, and it looks cool. Like,
yeah.
Good music, good surroundings.
Saoirse Ronan's in it. She looks amazing in it. And Riley Keough, keep your eyes out for her as well. That is Elvis Presley's granddaughter.
No way.
I believe, yeah, that's
the... Find that out?
Yeah, I'm just very, very well read, and I've got the internet beside me as well. Right, finally, I really want to talk to you about this. I've been saving time and trying to get through as much stuff as physically possible so we can have a chat about this. My plan to go and see this over the next couple of nights. This My Scientology movie from Louis Theroux. A bit of help with Marty Rathbun, who's the former Inspector General of the Church of Scientology. You've seen this now, and I just want to say, and discuss?
Yes, yeah. So... Louis Theroux had a bit of an issue. So he set out to make this film 10 years ago, and within that 10 years, Panorama made a Scientology film, and then the brilliant Going Clear by Alex Gibney was made, and Louis Theroux, he was getting bites and bites, but he just wasn't getting that interview with Scientology, with David Miscavige, the leader of Scientology, that he really wanted. And so he had to direct his ideas and his film into a whole new direction. And so what we have is Louis Theroux's Scientology movie. So because he couldn't get inside the church, he uses people that have had to leave the church because they suggest that the church was abusive to them or held cruel rumours about them, which they were told would be leaked. And so he uses these people to then restage some of the scenes that might have happened within the walls of the Scientology church.
I think one of the most prophetic or ironic things, you pick whatever word you want, about this is the fact that Louis Theroux had been looking to do this for years and years, to the point that they said to him, look, well, why don't you come in and just have a little look? Come and join us. Come and join us, Louis. And they took him to the Celebrity Centre in LA.
Was it London? Yeah.
And this is where I think, using his words, is the fact that, right, when you're a celebrity in Scientology, you will always see the best of it because, you know, you are a celebrity. I suppose it's like in every walk of life, it's the same. You know, if you're a celebrity walking down the street, you know, if you walk into a movie theatre or a nightclub, you'll get the best treatment.
Connor.
So, I get it every day. I can't walk down the street for people throwing stuff at me. But throughout the years, he's developed, I'll say, issues and problems with Scientology. So how was the movie and how did he manage to get the story of Scientology across? Because he has been quite fair. He won't slate the religious ideologies because he says all religions and all ideologies have flaws within them, right?
Yeah.
He's not slating them, and he hasn't done, and I do applaud him for that. But how was it received, and what did you think of it as a dramatic spectacle over 2 hours?
So you might have seen a lot of his documentaries recently have taken a serious turn. There's the Savile documentary, the alcohol abuse in Britain documentary, the kids on medication in America. They were all very serious, and you saw this new side of Louis Theroux, which wasn't weird and wonderful.
Yeah, he went from Weird Weekends to, you know, Louis' documentary
Louis' Dark Days. And in this film, you've got classic Louis, definitely Weird Weekends, loads of fun, loads of laughs, and real insights to people that you just wouldn't managed to get from anyone else, but Louis Theroux is able to get them because he's such a clever and funny individual. Staging the movie. So when he's getting people to reenact the thing, he's asking Marty Rathbun, who's like one of the leaders of Scientology, that is one of the main guys who left. He's kind of he pushes him for little answers here and there, and you kind of think, I wish he'd just gone a bit further and managed to get some information about it. But the whole time you're just laughing at Louis's reactions to getting told off for asking these questions. Or there's a brilliant scene when he's actually talking to a Scientologist and she's telling him to put the down the camera, but she's also filming him. And so they have a good 5 or 10 minutes of saying to each other, you put the camera down. No, you put the camera down. No, you put the camera
and
down.
There's that bit where he's going, are you making a documentary too?
Yeah.
To the guy who was filming him, and it becomes almost, you know, a satire within itself.
And there's a fella that is constantly filming Louis in the film, and he goes up to him and says, oh, hi, what's going on here? And he's like, oh, I've just been hired by these guys. He's looking through his camera lens saying, I don't know what they're doing. They just asked me to film you. And then later on, like a month later or something like that, they see a different presenter of this documentary, or presenter in inverted commas, and the same cameraman. And he's like, oh, you're back. How are you doing? And the guy's like, hi, yeah, I'm just working for these guys now. Oh, and is this about the same documentary? He's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, like, apparently, one of the things I'm quite excited about looking for this film that's going to come of this film is apparently the Church of Scientology has made or are making a film about Louis Theroux.
Louis Theroux, yeah.
And I'm really intrigued just to see what they're going to do.
He thinks when it's getting released in the States, I think it's getting released in the States next year, he reckons there will be a mini Louis Theroux documentary out on him, and he's already spoken about it. I've listened to do you ever listen to the Joe Rogan podcast?
No.
If you get a chance to listen to that, he's in it very deeply saying, like, I know what they're going to say. I know what the movie about me is going to be like. I know what they're going to say about me. It's going to be 10 minutes. They're going to completely try and say that I said all these weird things. They're going to pick all the bits from my documentaries and throughout the years and say, Louis is this. But we don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
We can't possibly comment on that. This is just the words of Louis Theroux, and I don't actually know, and I can't pass comment. But very quickly, we've got about 30 seconds. Did you learn anything more about Scientology or about the movement from this that you didn't learn from Going Clear or the Panorama documentaries?
There was some small insights that I felt I got, but that was mostly character more than anything. I think if you want your informative Scientology documentary, that's Going Clear. But this is a fantastic accompany piece to that. This is for the laughs. This is for seeing what people have gone through and getting an understanding of the people who were in the church.
Right. We were looking for a Greasy Strangler movie winner. We were asking you to greasify your movies. Everything from, let me see, Kevin and Perry Go Marge. Give me some of the other ones.
The Lord of the Rings.
The Sliming. We have decided we have a winner. That winner is Andy Stout. Andy has gone for One Flew Clover, the Cuckoo's Nest. Worth a radio round of applause. Very quickly, what is the fact flick of the week that you have down there that you would tell people to go and see?
Oh, Greasy Strangler or American Honey. I think American Honey will be so worth your time, and Greasy Strangler will send you out of your mind.
And your character of the week, if you look through all the characters, the people who are in the cinema playing things, stars, celebrities involved with movies this week, who's your character of the week?
Oh, I'm going to go for a documentary again. We've got Louis Theroux. He's going to be playing in the cinema again throughout this week and a few shows, so come and watch that. He's, you know, it's Louis at his best.